It was quite a few years ago that I first discovered what I'm going to call right now a purpose, kind of a purpose statement, but it's broader than that because it's not just at one location, that is found in Hebrews chapter 10 and chapter 12. A purpose for the writing of the book, more than that, just really informing us what God is doing in the life of His people, in the life of His believers. Hebrews chapter 12, we've been looking at what is easily called the discipline of the Lord. And I want to walk through some verses that we've already been in and just highlight a few of the things. In verse 5, where Scripture is being quoted, verse 4 says, "You have not died in trying to keep away from sin." And the wording is, "You have not shed blood to the, or have not resisted to the point of shedding blood in striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons." Quoting Old Testament, book of Proverbs, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint, lose heart when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines and scourges every son whom he receives." Three words in there I want to look at. Number one, the discipline. The word discipline, we've talked about it in here and addressed it from verse 10, like spanking. But discipline itself, the Greek word is training. It's training. It's training up. So it goes a good way in a right direction. It means bottom line training. It does include the painful parts as well. No question about that. But it means training. The word reproved there in verse 5, don't lose heart or faint when you're reproved by him. One of the primary meanings of the word reprove is to expose. I don't like exposure. And when I'm trying to get away with something and it is exposed, God is saying, okay, how far are you going to go? How many people do I need to shout this from the housetops? I mean, that's some of the wording of the scripture. Our sin will find us. I mean, there's so many scriptures we can look at to bring this out. Reprove means to expose. And it's exposed with the idea of discipline in mind. The next word, scourging, really does mean whip. It just does. And the Lord has his way of spanking us. Let's use the word with a whip. Now I'm going to be real careful in our tender age and, you know, this kind of stuff. But God has his ways of spanking that are so much more creative than I could ever come up with. Right? And sometimes it's just a little word from my little child that spanks me. You know? And sometimes it's a knock upside the head. Oh, man, I get it. You know, I get it. Anyway, three words have been used. And this passage is kind of developed from those. Here's the pattern that I see and want to show to you. Verse 7. It is for discipline that you endure. Okay? Discipline leads to endurance. No, the wording turns it the other way. It is for discipline that you endure. Endurance takes you to that point of training. Going through this, enduring, leads you to the training up of the Lord. Keep that. Go back to chapter 10. Verse 35 and 36. I've told this class many times that the one key thought that is through this book is that of confidence. Verse 35, Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, and we'll look at that just a bit more in a few minutes. Your confidence, because it has great reward. Why? Verse 36, you have need of endurance. Confidence gives you the ability to endure. Endurance does what? Leads to training, the discipline. Back in chapter 12, verse 10, referring to our earthly parents, they trained us or disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. Training up leads to what? The holiness of God. I want to just sketch this out. So, I mean, I hope that this is helpful to you. I really like visual aids. Sometimes it really helps me a lot. We have confidence. That leads to, do you remember next?
Endurance.
Which leads to
discipline
or training, which leads to, it's his holiness. And I thought, well, a visual aid may be a foundation, stone, or whatever, a footing. Let's put that confidence. On top of that footing is more footing. That upholds or is under, it leads to endurance. And when that is in place, the purpose of it is to give footing or support to the discipline or training. Oops. Which ultimately God's purpose is that we would share in his holiness. There isn't another way to holiness. He lays it out for us. Let's back up. Confidence. Great. What does that mean? Confidence in what?
Assurance of faith.
Through the book. Say it again, David.
Assurance of faith.
My confidence is in my relationship with the living God. Through Jesus. Since there is no other way to God. Through the book, you see him going there. Do you know him? Do you know that you know him? My confidence is not based on my performance. In the book of Hebrews, it is not based on my performance. But my confidence in Christ leads to proper performance. It enables me to act right. It gives me a reason to and the grace to act right. What am I to endure? In chapter 10, it is enduring some pretty painful things that this world gives to us. This world is broken. We have an enemy. There is no question about it. You can see some of that described there in chapter 10. It comes up again a little bit here in chapter 12. It's endurance as this world tries to slam us. And as the Lord, having the upper hand, uses that same stuff to train us. Huh. For what reason? That we might be trained. And that is that we're disciplined. In order that, it's narrowing down more and more now. I believe it's coming to that straight and narrow path that Jesus refers to in the book of Matthew, chapter 7. It's not the broad way that leads to destruction. It's the narrow way that leads to life that is difficult. It takes me to the place of making choices that ultimately are for my good, but for God's glory. So many times I've used an illustration, they pull it in again, that sitting in our comfortable living room at home, something is on that particular screen that many of us in America especially have that lives in our home and oftentimes becomes a point of idolatry. But anyway, that's a whole other topic. We'll call it entertainment. Something comes on that screen of entertainment and we think, huh, this looks pretty good. Feels pretty good. Uh-oh, somebody might be peeking my window. I'd better turn it off. I don't want them to catch me, you know, so we click it off. Okay? Or, entertainment, same entertainment comes on that same screen, and we say, wait a minute, I'm a child of God. I don't need this stuff anymore. Yes, the lust of my flesh might still crave it. I don't need this. And I go and I turn it off. Both seem to have the same end result, but one of them has a different motivation than the other. This leads us to the right motivation. I am a child of God. That's confidence. I make the choice not to go there again. What happens when I do go there? Sometimes somebody does peek in the window. Reproof, exposure. And sometimes I come to that place saying, I feel really crummy about this. It's God saying to me directly, exposing to me, thank you, Lord, so that the training happens and I can make a decision that is healthy for me. And it is pleasing to the living God that I belong to. Based on my confidence, I can say, you know what? I can endure this by God's grace. I can do this. Thank you, Lord. Or, God, give me the grace, because right now I feel like I'm barely hanging on by my fingernails. Endurance. Well, that's one area. Another area has to do, truly, with the brokenness of this world. Young lady, there was two of them named Mercy at the last school I was in India. One of those, Mercy is her name, told me that she was kicked out of her home, rejected by her family, and rejected by her husband. Because we were in a group setting, I didn't ask for details, but in talking with the leadership there, it may very well have been because she is a believer in Jesus. This world is broken. I know Jesus, therefore I can endure. And this young lady was at that place. And talking with Pastor Rick Cook from Brownsboro that set up this whole trip for Terry and I, he said, that's very common in India. That's a very common occurrence, that when somebody becomes a believer in Jesus, their Hindu family, their Muslim family, their Buddhist family will kick them out. We can endure because of what? We belong to the living God. Confidence. We can endure. Why do I have to endure this, God? Why don't you just, you know, slip me up to heaven? Well, because He's training us. He is disciplining us, and that doesn't mean that my pain is a spanking, but rather my pain is a training process so that I too can share in His holiness. Does that make sense? Let's go to one more word. Same text, verse 10, that word share. Sometimes the word koinonia is translated into that word sharing because it means that, basically. This is a different word. This, the word share means to partake of together. And in the context, it's partaking with Him, together with Him, in His holiness. The word holiness, we kind of had skewed ideas of what that means. It's not a synonym for righteousness, purity. It is a word that simply means this is really different than anything else. He, the living God, who certainly is righteous, who certainly is pure, I mean, all the glorious, grand things that we can attribute to our God, that, those are all true. But He is so different than anything else in all of creation. He is set apart from all of that. And so that word hagiazo describes that. And that He is wanting us to participate in that with Him. Whatever the discipline, the training is now, is that it would make me something very, very different than, I would say, in a practical way, all others in life around me who don't know Him. I still participate in life with them, but my mind and my choices can be and need to be very, very different. Sharing in His holiness here is not after I get to heaven. It's right now, in this life, in this broken world, currently. Okay? Each one of us here in the room is at a different place in life than anybody else. Each of us has something different going on, even a husband and a wife under the same roof. God is working on us independently as well as together. And we come together as a church family. He's working on us together. He's moving us forward together. The next little section kind of gets into that topic. But I have to understand in my mind, this is to me individually. God is saying, if you know me, I want you to know that you know me. That is in the book of Hebrews. In fact, it really ramps up to this point through the book of Hebrews. I want you to know that you know me. Why? So that you can just endure. Not just make it through every day, hanging on by the skin of your teeth kind of thing, but to do it with glory. You guys, this is so easy for me to talk about and teach. And then comes Sunday afternoon. You know? I wish the class could continue just so we could only talk about it. You know? This is meant, though, for us to live out on Sunday afternoon, Monday morning, etc. So that we are making right choices, because God wants to share in that otherness with us, that holiness with us. He wants us to participate, partake of it with Him. And to know that it's something that we also are doing together. Okay, let me just pause for the moment and give opportunity for questions or interaction.
So in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul's talking about the ministry he has, also all Christians have. He says, and such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Kind of what you were saying there.
Yeah.
And he goes on to make the statement, not that we are adequate in ourselves, that anything comes from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God.
Amen.
And we can't pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and say, I'm going to live this way. Just can't do it. No. And our adequacy has to come from the Holy Spirit working through us.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever shared, but I worked with a guy that was a Seventh-day Adventist. And he was saying, I realized I had to make myself clean before I could come to God to get accepted. And I said, no, that was backwards. You come to God to be cleaned. Mm-hmm. Then you live. And that's kind of what they teach there, that through your own adequacy, through your own work, you can make yourself accepted.
Yeah.
Such backwards. So again, even living this kind of life, just can't do it on your own.
Yes.
All the life.
You just reminded me also the perverted Book of Mormon that takes so many of our scriptures, plagiarizes, sticks it in their context, and removes it from any meaning from the scripture. A quotation that is often thought of by them about salvation comes absolutely word for word, in part, from Ephesians 2, 8, 9. And it says this, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Then they add, "After we've done all that we can do." Me cleaning up my act, just like you're saying right there. No, it's not me cleaning up my act. It's me saying, "Man, my act is stinky. God, how can you love me? I don't know, but you do. Thank you." And he continues to love me. He continues to love me. Right? He continues to move me forward because he loves me. That's really cool. Thank you, Lord, for your patience. I want to show you one other scripture too. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Verses 5 down through 9 are practical ways. He's saying, okay, Christian person, you need to change, make different choices here. In fact, let me just read those, because it comes to the culmination down below. Colossians 3, verse 5. "Consider the members of your earthly body." And it's talking about your brain. It's talking about your eyes. It's talking about your hands, where you go, what you do, choices you make, what you say. "Consider that dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed," which amounts to idolatry. "For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them also, you also once walked when you were living in them. But now, you also put them aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech." Verse 9, "Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices." All of this is saying, it doesn't make sense that the child of God is doing this stuff. And this isn't an all-inclusive list. In Ephesians chapter 4, he adds to the list. And there's some other places too. But look where it's going. After it says, "Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices," verse 10, "and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him." This is really different wording for the same thing. God is at work in you to transform you from the inside out into the character of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, freeman. Christ is all and in all. Excuse me, context demands Christ is in all who believe in him. Not in everybody on the planet. It's not what he's saying. So leave it in its context. And Christ is at work in me and in you, if you belong to him. He is renewing us from the inside out. Philippians 1:6, "Being confident," Paul says, "of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perform it," or complete it, "till the day of Christ Jesus." He's not done yet. Okay, so let's just look, step aside and observe for a moment. And whether it's in some kind of animal training you participated in, or child training you participated in, or job training you participated in, you are taught certain things. And then you're kind of freed up to perform certain things. And when you don't perform it well, what do you do? What do you receive? Oh, further training from the trainer. For the little bitty puppy, it's, excuse me, get back in your box. No, don't go to the toilet over there, right? I mean, the training happens. What's the end result? That they're trained up in the way that they should be, according to the trainer. Well, our trainer is perfect. Our trainer is holy. And he's saying, you know what? You got a long way to go, but I'm with you in it. And I get off track, left or right, I don't care. What the subject is, I don't care. They all come in because he's really interested in renewing us from the inside. Say, okay, you're kind of outside the box right now. Let's put you back on target. Let's get you back on that straight and narrow. And the confidence in the Lord that I belong to Him allows me to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your discipline. Thank you for your discipline. I know I'm better off with it. I know I'm I need your help. Thank you that you're there to help. I'm heading down the right way. You all have... this last week it came up in our Wednesday night Bible study. Wednesday night Bible study, we talked about certain things that have been recorded in the Bible of actions of certain people that they, as they performed the act, wouldn't think that people for the next 4,000 years are going to be reading about your actions. In that particular one, we were talking about Judah, who, after his wife died, decided he needed some sexual activity, so went to a prostitute, he thought. Happened to be his daughter-in-law, completely veiled. And you remember that story? Oh, man! And through that came the line of Christ. Well, we've been reading about Judah and his choices ever since then. But you can go clear back to Adam and Eve. Okay. They are written for our learning. No question. I thank you, Lord, that I can learn from that and say, okay, that's something I don't want to do. That's something that I ought not to be involved with. I know that God is in process of changing me from the inside out. These are examples to learn from. If I don't learn from them, reproof means exposure. Huh? I think it's a lot better to learn it and go it. But not out of fear of exposure. There's a deeper motivation that's here, and that is His holiness. That I would become more like Jesus as character and choices. Not just pleasing to God, but participating with Him in this life that I've got to live that is so short and running out. That's what I see developed in Hebrews. Okay, did that bring any other thoughts or questions to your mind?
Yeah.
Back here?
Yeah, just thinking about... as we share in His holiness, what does that look like? And His holiness is, first and foremost, His otherness. So, does that mean, perhaps, that as we share in His holiness, we find we're more tuned in to His stuff than the stuff that's all around us?
Okay. More tuned into His stuff than in the stuff that's all around us. Okay? Let me show you a little bit more here in Hebrews chapter 12. Good morning, you guys. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 11. All discipline, training, for the moment, seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. That means choosing God's way because it is right. And choosing His way, Dave, you pointed this out last week. You brought this phrase out, highlighted it just a little bit. The peaceful fruit of righteousness. I'm walking in that and experiencing that. But it doesn't stop there. It gets really practical, verses 12, 13, and even 14. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. The wording of this is set up in such a way that it involves you and me helping others. But also, it doesn't exclude strengthening of our own hands that are weak and knees that are feeble. That is metaphorical, just kind of picture language to bring this in. Most of us here have had some injury. Hand, carpal tunnel kind of thing. And carpal tunnel is so painful that you really don't use that hand or the two hands much anymore. You don't use the two hands, the muscles grow weak. That's the image here. There's an injury to where you need to go through the physical therapy of just doing basic stuff again to make that finger work, Matt. To make that hand work again after all of this stuff. Sister, after your car accident, you experienced a lot of that debilitating stuff. The knees that are feeble, it's just using a different image to communicate the same thing. It does mean the weak hand, the one that is flopped to the side and useless, can't be used anymore because it's lost all of its tone, all of its ability. And we are called to come alongside and start giving strength back, start working that, start helping. Strengthen the hands that are weak. The knee that is feeble, that's a weird word, the word feeble. It really does mean flopping off to one side.
Whoa.
Oh, I've been through that for years.
Okay, and what is that going to look like ultimately? We see people, we come alongside people, we're exposed to people that either this world is hammered so hard or their own choices have hammered so hard that they are just shrunken down to almost nothing. And he says, I'm not through with them yet. Come alongside and strengthen them. Give them an ability to walk with the Lord. Strengthen the hands that are weak, the knees that are feeble. Verse 13 brings some images that he's already talked about. Make straight paths for your feet so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather healed. And the word healed means healed. It's not talking about a physical healing. It is talking about a spiritual healing in this context. It's imagery that is used of, okay, man, as, you know what, as a teenager, as a child and a teenager, I, for one, was pretty agile. Able to jump, leap from rock to rock and branch to branch. And you know what I'm saying? I did fall asleep and take a nap up in a tree, leaning against the trunk, sitting on a limb. I wouldn't do that today. Now, there's times where I think I'm as agile now as I used to be. That's when I get into some problems. I have found that I don't get up quite as quick. My reactions aren't as quick. You guys are laughing because you relate, right? Okay. This is saying, make straight paths for your feet. Look at verse 1. It means to get stuff out of the way that is an encumbrance and entangles. Read verse 1 with me. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, chapter 11, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. It's bringing us back into that very verse. Make straight paths, clean paths, not obstructed paths for your feet. Good idea. Yes, I used to be able to blast through the woods and not worry about it. And if I fell or scraped, get up and keep moving. Today, it's, oh, man. It's different today. And it ought to be. Specifically, as a child of God, there's stuff that was in my youthfulness that ought not to be even an entanglement whatsoever anymore. Something that encumbers me anymore. Because, man, it's going to trip you up and you're going to, I believe, parapepto. You're going to fall while in, you're going to get tangled and waylaid right there. Okay, this has to do with me and my walk, and this has to do with me walking alongside others, that we together are getting the path cleared. And we're walking down that path together. And you know what? The more age that we put on, it's like the more glory is happening with the Lord. Because that path is more and more clear toward His holiness. Not with fear of getting caught or beaten up, but with desire in Him. That is what this passage is about. And the very first thing that is said then in verse 14, we'll stop with this. Therefore, pursue peace with one another. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification, and that's hagiazo, holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. They can't get to the Lord without the Lord Jesus. They can't get there. He does this work of holiness. Do you know in the New Testament He calls you saint? That's not out of Catholicism. They've warped that thought. And some others have as well. A saint is a child of God that believes in the Lord God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He calls us holy ones. That's what we are. And so here, this chapter is about the holy ones progressing forward into holiness. Why is it that He would put in a practical, not metaphorical, but an actual thing, pursue peace with all men? Because our biggest downfall, encumbrance, entanglement has to do with our relationships with one another. It just does. Pursue peace with all men. Romans chapter 12, about verse 17 or 18. You, as far as possible, you be at peace with all men. That tells me not all men are going to want to be at peace with me, but I must do what I can do for my part because I can't change them. Right? Pursue it. Go after it. And it means exactly that. Run toward it. Pursue it. Grab it. With gusto, seek after the peace. Not the glory over them. Not the braggadocious place, I'm better than them. Not all the other things that get in the weirdnesses into human relationships, but rather a peace that does. Boy, that peace is talked about in the New Testament. We don't have time to chase them down, but the peace that passes all understanding, that guards my heart, mind, Christ Jesus. The Romans 12, the peace that is to act, no, it's not Romans 12, it's Colossians 3, that acts as our arbiter. Let peace be the judge between two people and pursue that peace. What's going to make for peace? Let's decide that. And we go toward it. Okay. Yesterday, and we'll end with this, God willing. Yesterday, my family, some of our family, went to a local concert by some ladies, Pat Mersman and another lady, I forgot her name. It was a fun little local concert, opera. A pianist and a soprano, and they were singing romantic songs, most of which were in German, and translated into English so we could follow it out. And they talked about the songs before they did them. And the one that I'm thinking of right now, that I'm kind of thinking about, it just basically had to do with, you know what? two kings can make peace with each other. Why can't we make peace with each other? Husband-wife relationship. That's what this song is about. That's really simple, but pretty basic. From a source that's not a Christian source, necessarily. It's just practical. The people that I often see standing on the corner, I think it's Lister Street, Monday mornings, standing there in black, standing up for peace, over the decades that has been there now, I happen to know some of those personally. I've said this before, I think it's really an important point to know. They want world peace. That's why they're standing there. Some of those people I know personally do not have peace in their own home. Yet they want world peace. Excuse me? Where's it going to start? Okay. Pursue peace with all men. You got the point? Any questions? Quick questions. Otherwise, we're going to open the doors and let them come in. Dave? Or comments? Yes?
It seems that verses 12 and 13, 12 dealt with yourself, 13 dealt with other people. That's kind of what I got.
I see that, and I think it seems to me like verse 12, the priority is helping others, but you're not excluded. Verse 13, it's about you, but it doesn't exclude other people. I think that we are integrated, me individually and others, together in this. Now, whether you divide those out and leave...
But what if the other people don't want that? You know, Amos 3:3, how can two walk together except they be agreed?
Yep. You cannot force the other person. You cannot do it. And I don't think it's trying to side, you know, its way around that fact. But in our brokenness and our weakness, sometimes when somebody doesn't want help, they're willing to have me just sit there, just to be with them and know they're loved. And that in itself can sometimes move them to a place of saying, let's go together. But
David's minds are working alike here, because I was asked that same question, because I was reading in the American Standard, it says, therefore strengthen the hands of weak. The ESV has, therefore strengthen your hands. It makes it personal, instead of just, like you say, opening it up to the body. Mm-hmm. So, I guess after run the translations out, but I have that same question. Is it speaking, take care of yourself, take care of others?
And it may be that the word your is plural, rather than just individual. Our English can go one way or the other with the same word, you know. And I did not look that up to see if that's a plural there. The way I've taken it, and I've got my notes as well, is it's me individually, but also including the others. And the other one is specifically looking how you can help out others, but also for yourself. So integrating both ideas. So thank you. Joe?
So in a sense, instead of physical therapy, it's spiritual therapy.
It is. It is. Using what we all know about physical therapy in our world today, see, it's just like that.
So if it hurts, you just use it anyway.
In a smart way.
Yeah. Gently.
Because we can injure even more.
Yeah.
And we can run to that image.
Yeah, if you don't use it at all, you're losing it.
Yep.
That's what my personal
opinion. You know what, Galatians 6:1? Brethren, if any of you see a brother caught up in sin, and that's word ensnared in sin, they're stuck in it, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. The word restore doesn't mean, get it together, man, wham! It means a process that could very well be a slow, ongoing process, step by step by step. And that's where that restoration comes in, Joe. I believe that's what we're talking about here. The weak, those muscles come back slowly. So let's just go slow so we don't do further injury. And finally, yeah, feeling good, feeling better, you know, and getting up and moving ahead. So we come alongside and help one another in that. But again, that imagery of make a clear path for your feet, what might be obstructing you may be different than what obstructs me and entangles me. So we have to apply it how God wants us to in our individual life. And I don't know how else to say that. Can we come up with a long list of entanglements? But which does God want me to apply? What am I struggling with that is holding me back? Thank you, Father, that you're so interested in us that you would share your character that we don't have without you. We can't even participate it with without you, your holiness. Father, let us see it to where we crave it and go after it. Lord, from our own place, our own choices, God, I thank you for your grace that's there to enable us, but help us to make the choice of grace, please. Thank you for the explanation, for the teaching that's here, and I pray that it would just get bigger from here for all of us in this room. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.